According to government figures, nearly 600 veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan were homeless last year. Count Corporal Joe Ricaldo among this year's number. On December 10, 2004, Ricaldo was on combat patrol near Baghdad with his National Guard unit. His Humvee took a sharp turn and flipped. Ricaldo was in the gunner's turret. For months, Army doctors worked to put him back together, and then they sent him home to Long Island.
He came back with a few things he didn't take with him: an honorable discharge, metal rods and screws up and down his spine, an arm that moves like a robot's, and a bone infection. The first place Ricaldo went was the New York Armory to pick up his 98 Plymouth. He's been living in it pretty much ever since. NPR's Libby Lewis spent a day with him.
There are days when Joe Ricaldo goes all day without talking to anybody. He's like a ghost in his hometown. His parents and aunts and uncles have passed on. He has one sister and a few friends here in Nassau County. They wish he would call, but he doesn't much.
I try to keep to myself, you know.
Is that the way you are naturally, or is it because
the first thing people want to do is want to help, and I appreciate it, this and that, but, you know, I feel like I just don't want to burden anyone.
What he wants is to go back to work. He tried at first. He couldn't go back to being a car mechanic with that arm. So he went to work at New York's Penn Station as one of the National Guardsmen who've patrolled the place since 9/11. He couldn't afford to live in the city. He decided to sleep in his car. The social worker at the Veterans Affairs Medical Center told him he could stay at the Salvation Army shelter for veterans.
The way I feel is like, you know, I'm going to be 50, and I never had to live anywhere other than where I wanted to live. I've worked my whole life, and I just told him straight out, keep your shelter for the cats and dogs, because I'll do something before, you know. Anyway, here's a church we used to go to. Grew up in this town. No big deal, but that's Mom and Dad Sunday, you know. I'm still here, thank God.
He lasted 6 months at Penn Station. He said the pain in his back and his infections got to be too much. NPR spoke with officials with the National Guard and the VA about Ricaldo and obtained some of Ricaldo's medical records. VA records show he's been rated 20% disabled on a scale of 1 to 100. So he's been living on $218 a month in disability from the VA, some savings, and his Plymouth. He's appealed his case, but that usually takes a long time. Ricaldo drives across town to show me where he grew up in Hicksville. The siding on his old house looks new. He doesn't know the people who live here now.
They gave me an American flag at the Pentagon. I seen Rumsfeld twice. I met with him. And I was thinking about coming here one night and just burying it on his property. You know, so these people would never know. I guess part of me just wants to have something to do still with the only ties I've ever known in my life is this property. And maybe a part of me just wants to bury that flag because I just don't want to look at it anymore.
He wound up giving the flag to his oldest friend, Bo Silverman. They met when they were 8.
We used to meet at this corner here.
Ricaldo wants me to see his friend's house from the street. There's a white Mercedes in the driveway. Silverman built up a business at the local flea market. He loaned Ricaldo money to start his own business, but it didn't work out.
So for the longest time, I stayed away because I couldn't pay him back. One thing led to another, and I ended up getting in, you know, financial situations. But he's a true American. He had nothing, and he built a business up. And that's what the American dream is. You know, guys like me, we just like ruin the American dream, you know. We just don't live up fully to what it should be. And, you know, he's one person I know my whole life. So I presented him the flag. I went to his booth in a flea market. I just gave it to him, and that was like the best thing I probably remember.
He has a sister. She wants to help. So do his friends. But Ricaldo wants to do it by himself. We get gas. $7. He pays.
People are very impatient.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you have nowhere to go and how much time you have. You just don't care about getting anywhere. The worst feeling for me is being useless. That's just what I am. I'm just like, just annoying people, taking up space. That's why I pushed everybody out.
He keeps the Plymouth neat. He eats once a day, mostly Chinese. Around 5, when things get busy, he sneaks into the gym he used to belong to and showers. We decide to get coffee. Everything in front of us is strip malls.
By the way, that's my laundromat. It's 24 hours. That's why I sleep where that truck is. Other times is a church parking lot down here. That's the safest one.
At the stoplight, he pulls out a stack of pictures from Iraq. There's a blood-orange sunset, one of Ricaldo and his buddies. There's one picture of a boy. He looks 10 or 11. His whole family got killed in a bombing raid.
I remember this kid here, and all he wanted to do was go to school. He goes, that's all I wish I can do is just go to school. I'll never forget it. If that doesn't break your heart, then I don't know what does. So who should I complain about my pain? Look at these kids. This is what gives me strength, these beautiful kids, the way they live. They're happy to live in a mud shacks.
Ricaldo pulls into the parking lot at Starbucks. He picks up a picture somebody took of him waving from the turret of a Humvee.
This is the actual vehicle, Delta 1-4. There was four of us. Another patrol was set up. They got hit by an IED, and we were going to set up security. And our platoon sergeant made us take our headsets off. If you're up in a turret, you can't hear anything. The wind, the traveling, the noise. Supposedly the front vehicle took shots. And they, I hate to say it, but they put the driver of this vehicle, he was a 19-year-old kid from the city, New York, and he flipped this thing like you wouldn't believe. It supposedly rolled three times. I remember being upside down the first time. I actually called out for my mom. Isn't that weird? I was like, Mom. And I knew this wasn't right. And when I came to, I was on the ground like this, and I was just bleeding from everywhere. I couldn't breathe. And I just told him, you better get a medevac, a helicopter. You better call one in. I thought that was it.
Months later, Ricaldo saw the 19-year-old who was driving the Humvee that day.
I seen him at Fort Dix with one of my friends, another soldier in my unit. And we looked at each other, and he started crying. He goes, I'm sorry. Because he's seen, I looked even worse. I had the cane and everything. I said, I just grabbed a hold of him, and I hugged him, and I said, don't take this home. I said, it's over right now. I said, there's nothing to be sorry about. I said, all you were trying to do was drive, try to learn something. Nobody taught us. Nobody showed us how these things flip. Oh, it's not your fault. And he just cried and cried. I held him. I said, you are not even forgiven. There was nothing to forgive to begin with. I said, I'm fine. I started cracking jokes. And he still didn't lighten up. He still was very sad, Then I said, by the way, wait till you get my bill. Then he started laughing.
We get coffee and head to Jones Beach. He used to swim here every day. We walk for a bit on the boardwalk. Ricaldo gets winded. He has to sit down before we head back to the Plymouth. The VA has been pushing him to do trauma counseling along with his medical appointments. He wants to focus first on his body, his back, and his infections. Then he says he'll talk about what Iraq did to his mind.
They say that's traumatic. I said, well, you know what? I was afraid to walk. I was afraid to leave the building. I was afraid to cross the street. Now I'm driving my car. Can I get over these fears? Can I get over this not sleeping? Yes. My biggest concern for a guy like me, old school, is the fact that I always had an income coming in. I don't know who's going to hire me. And I'll tell you right now, that's the worst fear than anyone shooting at me, is the fact that I'm not working. I've always worked my whole life.
He's applied for some part-time jobs, but he hasn't heard back. In the meantime, he's hoping the National Guard assigns him to a job he can handle with his injuries. Radio repairman on Staten Island, maybe. Libby Lewis, NPR News.
You can read about the government's evolving approach to helping homeless veterans at our website, npr.org.